Yes, it works. Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Iknu, and I have been here in this university for about 4 years. And my research is about the e-sourcing services. And my research topic is the information system design product theory for the class of e-sourcing requirements and delivery management. And you know, the e-sourcing is always include the client and the service provider. And my research focuses on the service provider. Here is the research background. Yeah. First, I want to introduce the concept e-sourcing. E-sourcing is the ICT-enabled international sourcing of software incentive system and services. That means information and computer technology-enabled services. And e-sourcing has been used worldwide to achieve various advantages, including the reducing cost and improve the quality and sharing risk and get new skills from all the world. It is a very useful strategy to for the client and for the service providers to get more quality services or product. To achieve successful e-sourcing, client and the service provider, they need to cooperate with each other. Actually, e-sourcing has been developed for several years, and the client has been researched a lot. You can find a lot of papers and research about how to control e-sourcing, how to manage the service, or something like that. But from the service provider side, the research is limited, and most of the research they focus on the India perspective, because there are several major service providers in the international market: India, China, Philippines, and other countries. India is the number one because they have developed the e-sourcing for a long time, and they have several very famous companies in the world, and every company they have about 1,000 employees. So it's very powerful service provider. But the Chinese e-sourcing service provider, they have different situations. For example, they have they are limited by the business model. That is, small and medium-sized the Chinese providers deliver services to a large foreign ICT client. Actually, they only meet the end client onshore. That means they can't get direct communication with the end client. So that means they can't get enough technology skills from the client. This business model actually limited the service provider's capability development. So that's the research gap. This model can't help the service provider to grow up and improve their service capabilities, and which means they can only get the low levels of contract and don't have enough profit, and they can't grow up in the international market. And the current literature, they didn't offer comprehensive enough guidelines to overcome this limitation. So based on this research gap, here's the research questions. From this research, we hope to find the e-sourcing service practice and associated activities and enabling classes of information systems to find which of them are the highest priority for the service provider, and from several aspects. For example, excluding the e-sourcing lifecycle and recovering from the coordination breakdowns during the execution and redesign the lifecycle. Actually, these sub-questions, that's also the research object. We hope to improve their service capability in these three subjects. and try to help them to improve their service capability. Here is the research object. This research initiated from the literature review, and for my research, I have two case studies. The two case studies, they are from different domains and different contexts. So based on these two case studies and the final cross case research, we create information system design product series for them. Actually, for this whole research, we developed three information system design product series for them, and try to help the service provider to overcome the limitation we mentioned in the earlier slides. And for this research, we hope to help the service provider to design information system for managing the whole life cycle, whole e-sourcing life cycle, and help them to deliver the e-sourcing service more effectively and overcome the limitation of the mediated business model. For this research, we focus on the Chinese context, but we hope to generalize the result for other e-sourcing service countries, because a lot of countries, they are developing e-sourcing services. The e-sourcing client, they are from Japan, European countries, and American. They are the most client in the international market. But for the service provider, a lot of providers, they join this market, and they hope to get more contract and improve their service capability, or the ICT industry or something like that, to move to a new levels. So currently in this market, it's not the Indian market anymore. For this research, the research methodology is in this slide. Actually, e-sourcing can be divided into the ICT service sourcing and the business process sourcing. This is a very generalized classification. And the ICT service sourcing and the business process sourcing, this concept has been used for several years. And for the future about the e-sourcing, that's the technology process sourcing. I will present the technology process sourcing in the end of this presentation. And this research studies service providers in each of the ICT sourcing domain and the business process sourcing domain. And in every domain, we choose a specific case company. And for the ICT service, we choose a testing service provider. And for the business process sourcing, we choose the logistic service providers. We choose these two cases has some specific reasons. For example, for the testing services, because it's quite it has a close relationship with the Chinese government police, and because the government try to encourage the companies to join this international market, and a lot of Chinese e-sourcing service companies, and they can offer the testing services. So this is quite generalized and quite normal services in the Chinese market. And for the logistic services, it also has close relationship with the government police, because government try to initiate a lot of police and help to move the logistic providers go to the international market and improve their service capabilities. And the logistic services is also a very good domain or a very good context to find how the ICT service, how the ICT or the information systems cover with the service process. That means how the information systems support their service process in the whole life cycle. So it's the reason to choose the logistic service in this service. And all the data has been collected from the most important stakeholders. And when I interview the testing companies, I interview the CEO and all the test managers and all the key members. And for the logistic service case, I visited the CIO and other key managers and get a lot of feedback from them. And all the data has been collected based on two rounds. I interviewed the company, ask them some questions, collect feedback, analyze their data, and ask them more questions, and show them our result, and give some feedback to revise our result or something like that. And for this whole research, we use the e-sourcing capability model as a reference model. This model is very important. I will give more details about this model. Yep. For this research, the e-sourcing capability model for service providers, we choose the vision is 2010. Actually, this model has two sides. It's for the client and for the service provider. We use the service provider model. We choose this model as a reference model because it is the most comprehensive and it's very academic model, actually. It covers all the e-sourcing lifecycle and include all the detailed practices. For example, in the Vision 2010, it includes about two practices. And for the e-sourcing lifecycle model, they include three phases, that is initial, delivery, and completion. And every phase is associated with a number of practices that I mentioned, about more than 80 practices in this three phases. And of course, for this model, it also includes the ongoing practices, and the ongoing practices throughout this whole lifecycle to perform management functions. And for this case study, I collected data and compared the data with this model, so I can find which practices the case companies already have and which practices they don't have, so I can ask the reason why they don't have or something like that. And this model is a capability model, that means they have levels 1, 2, 3, 4, something like that. Which means when the service provider, they have some basic service capabilities that in the level 1, and if they have more practice and have more capabilities, they can move to the higher level. So this model is could be used as a roadmap for the service provider to improve their service capabilities, so they can move to the higher level, and the client can, based on this model, to choose the service provider in their services. Yes, and here I want to say something about the information system design theory, because for my research, I use this design theory to design some artifacts for the service providers and to help them to improve the capabilities. And this design theory is very important in the academic domains because this design theory, it describes both the design product and the process aspect of the classes of information systems. And the design theory, it has been carried out in a way which is both effective and feasible. For this design theory, you can see they have four aspects. It is a valuable proposition to be fulfilled by implementing an incident with the class. And the design theory, it means you design some classes of artifacts and to slow a classes of problems. That Actually, we don't use the instance of the classes. We just describe a classes of artifacts used to solve the problems. And the problems is also a classes of problems. So based on this design series, the service provider or the company, they can design some instance of the classes to solve some the problems. And in this design series, it's also applicable kernel theories from social and natural science for understanding, governing, solving problems, and share across all products within the classes, and how the product should be built. And for this research, we focus on the product perspective. It deals with information system design product theories. That is the product aspect of information system design theories. The process aspect beyond the scope of this research, because the instance of information system design theories can be built in many ways, and it is not as fruitful to describe the process aspect as a product aspect. Okay, here is the case studies. For the first case study, it's about the testing services. And based on that testing services, we use two round data collection and interview the CEO and all the key members. And based on this research, we found that the most important practices for testing service providers are the requirement analysis and the test planning. The requirement analysis and the test planning, they are in the initial stage. You can see from they are in the initial stage of the testing service life cycle. That is what I said earlier. We interview the case and collect data and compare their practices with this reference model, and to find which practices are the most important for the service providers, and we can investigate the missing practices. So we can find the reason, and we can ask the reason why they miss the practice or something like that. So that's the basic idea for this case studies. And in the testing case, we also found that the most important classes of information system for them are the requirement and the test and the defect management systems. And the testing team's structure has been analyzed because the testing team, they are the unit entry to deliver the service to exclude the testing services. And there are also some supporting teams around the testing teams to help them to deliver the services. For the first round data collection, I only focused on the testing team because they are the most important team in the services. They draft the test plan, exclude the test services, find the defect and report the defect, connect with the client, something like that. And for the second round, I interviewed the supporting teams, so we can see the other teams work together with the testing team. They always offer support the testing team to deliver the services. So for the client, perspective, they can see the whole services can be delivered efficiently. And based on this testing case, an information system design product theory for the classes, requirements, test, and the defect management system has been created. Right, in this slide, that's the test team structure. We can see that from this structure, they have the test manager, test analysis, and the tester, and the last is the coordinator. The test manager, they are on the top level. They control all the testing services, and they are responsible for the test planning, management, the test project, risk evaluation, and report review. And in the completion stage, the manager, they also need to summarize the project and the lessons learned. In the case company, all the managers, they have more than 5 years work experience. I want to say something more about the test manager, because experience actually is important for the test manager. So because, for example, the test manager, they can do some project in the technology part, and they can also in the different domains, so they can accumulate the testing experience in different domains. So experience is important for the test manager. And for the test analysis, they work with the test manager to draft the test plan and the test requirements. And they also design the test cases. They have about 3 or 4 years of relevant work experience. And the tester, they conduct the specific test assignment. They have more than 1 year's work experience or something. Actually, they are in the basic level to do the specific test assignment. And the coordinator communicate with client, and they actually just as a bridge between the client and the service provider. They need a comprehensive testing technology, because they need to know the business side. They also need to know the technology side. So a coordinator is throughout the whole service life cycle to offer services. Actually, this is the basic structure for the test team. But in the real case, this team structure can be flexible. For example, if the project is small, they don't need too much people. The test manager or the test analysis, and maybe they can do all the work. And if the test manager, they have good English language or culture, or they don't have any cultural issues, they can also do the coordinator's work. So in the real case, this is a very flexible structure. But even the test manager or test analysis, they do the test work, so they still have some basic functions divided. And okay, I want to say something more about the design test cases. When I interviewed the company for the second round, and they told me some interesting things. For example, for some very big project, for example, a service provider, they deliver the testing service for the Microsoft, and they test the Office product. Maybe they will use a separate team to design the test cases, because the test cases can be reused for several rounds. And everyone know the Office, they have 2013 to Office 2000 or a series of Office product. Actually, they can use a lot of test cases in their testing services. And if the project is big enough, a separate team, they focus on the test cases design, and they can translate transfer technology from the client to the service provider. That is very important. So that's what I say. Based on the service project, this team structure can be flexible. And this slide, it includes all the service teams. You can see from the first row, that's the test team, and the other three teams, as I said earlier, they work around with the test team, and then they support the test team to deliver this whole services. And the other three teams, they are the measurement management team, and the quality assurance management team, and the configuration management team. And the measurement management team, they need to collect and analyze matrix and help the test team and the client to improve and manage the service quality. And for the quality assurance team, they should make sure that the testing service, they can meet client requirements and they are run on the right direction, on the right way. And the configuration management team, they are responsible for managing the configurations of the different versions and the test artifacts. For the testing service, of course, it's quite normal the artifacts have several versions, and the configuration management team, they need to manage all the artifacts in different contexts or different background. For example, in the Windows 7 or Windows XP, that's different contexts, different background, and the configuration management team, they focus on the manage the test artifacts in these versions. And if the project is big or very long-term project, actually the configuration management team is very, very important. And for example, if we want to test the Office product in the Windows 7 context or in the Windows 8 context, that means you switched from the two systems, that you need to keep all the artifacts, they are safe and unique, and that is very important. And actually, the configuration management team, it also costs a lot of time in the testing services, because you need to establish the testing environment and keep all the artifacts, something like that. So this team structure is also very flexible. Maybe because for me, I focus on the testing, but maybe for the future research, maybe we could pay more attention about the configuration management team, because a lot of managers, they also say a lot about this configuration management team. Okay, here is the artifacts we designed for the testing team. From this figure, you can see that actually it's based on the testing service process, and you can see the client, the coordinator, test manager, tester, test analysis, and the project database. And this is the classes of system. We see that that's the most important, the requirements, test, and the defect management system. Based on this figure, you can see that this system, this classes of system, it offers support for the different roles. You can see client, coordinator, test manager, and help them to deliver the service very efficiently. And it also recorded all the important artifacts in the service and put them in the project database. For this figure, we can see that it's based on the service process, and it starts from the client. They have some request, proposal, or documented system requirement. And it and when the service has been delivered and the client, they are satisfied about the service provider's service. For this whole process, the test manager and the test analysis, they work together in these two roles in this service. And we also have a box about the change requirements here. That means if they found some serious defect in the testing service, the client maybe they change their requirement or revise, adjust the test plan. So you can see what will happen to the test manager, test analysis, and it will have some reflection about for this whole services. So this is a process model, but you can see that actually for the whole process model, these classes or systems, it support all the involved roles. They help them to work together, follow this routine, follow these rules to deliver the services. And we also have something about the breakdown, the change requirement, or something like that. All this picture want to say that the system helps the stakeholders work in a defined process. to deliver the efficiently and the most deliverable services for the client. So based on the, this figure, the client, they can get a very very good service. We hope we hope that. And of course, based on the case studies, when they when we introduce this process model, and we also collect some very good feedback from the test managers and the CEO. And for this figure, you can see that this is a comprehensive model. For the early picture, you can see that that's only the test team in this model. But for the for this one, you can see that all the involved members, the client, the other supporting teams, the environment management team, quality assurance management team, and the configuration management team, that this is the whole picture for the testing services. And you can see the classes of requirement test and the defect management system, how this system supports all the stakeholders in this process. And it helps all the stakeholders to get the whole project and how to get success. It also includes the change requirement. And you can see that all the stakeholders, how what they will do when they change the requirement, something like that. So this is the whole picture. And you can see that from this picture, it's also all the all the team members, all the stakeholders, they follow this service process. And this classes of information system supports them to do the right things at the right time to keep this project success.
And so, of course, what is novel in this kind of a picture is that now we have both the workflows and the processes and the information system support there in one picture. But normally what you see is you only see either information system requirements, so that people doing running testing services, for instance, could buy these kind of tools. You know, you have open source tools, you have commercial tools for doing these requirements test and defect management. So you see requirements, some abstract requirements or more detailed requirements for the tools, but you don't see how those tools support the actual work of those testing teams and other teams. Or you see processes, process models, where they are telling what the roles, what these different roles are supposed to do, but then they don't so show what the information systems are supposed to do. So it means that organizations can design their activities, but they are not able to purchase the supporting tools necessarily very well. So this is the first model that we know of that has both the information systems and the workflows and processes together. So that's something you need to get. And for instance, I am involved in all kinds of international standardization projects where we standardize globally these things. And for instance, in the International Standardization Organization, we have a project at the moment that is focusing on the process side of things, what the people are supposed to do, and then there is a separate project that focuses on standardizing what the tools are supposed to do. And then, of course, what we are trying to, we need to show this model to these guys and say that you actually need to make those two standards together. So then this dilemma that processes and supporting systems, information systems, are always treated normally together, separately. We are the first guys who deal with them together. Okay, sorry, took a little bit of time from just continue.
Yeah, of course. I want to say something about this requirement test and the defect management system. Actually, this is a classes of information system, but in the market, they have some specific tools. For example, the HP Quality Center and the IBM, they also have some specific classes of tools. They can offer the functions like this to support in the whole testing lifecycle. Yes.
So in order to purchase tools or to develop your own tools, you need to make sure that you are able to have from those tools all these different services that we are showing in the database swim lane and in the requirements test and defect management system swim lane. You understand these are all swim lanes that you have here. And you need to have this kind of swim lanes in the organization to have that testing organization run effectively. And clients, of course, also need to understand this. When a client is outsourcing its testing services to this kind of a testing service provider, of course the client should have a very thorough understanding of this kind of a model and be able to assess the provider before making a contract with the provider. If the provider actually doesn't have these kind of supporting systems or doesn't have these kind of swim lane roles where effective people would be executing those roles, the client obviously should not hire that kind of a company. So you see there are many uses for this kind of a model. It's both for the client and then for the internal business process development of the testing service provider. So both the clients and providers can use this kind of a model. Of course, this is mostly for the provider, but client can do some assessment of the providers based on this kind of a picture.
Yeah, yeah. I want to say something more about the client. For this whole model, actually, we can see that it's a standard service process. But for the client, they have very flexible choice. For example, if the client they want to save some cost, actually they can outsource the defect repair work outside. Actually, it means they can outsource the testing service to the providers, and they can also outsource the defect repair work to the service providers, and they only need to open the database entrance for the service providers. The service provider, they can find some useful information to repair the found defect. But even in that kind of business model, that's also based on this service process. And actually, the service provider, they can get some technology from the client, and they can improve their service or the process service capabilities. So the service provider, based on this model, they can move to a higher level and deliver the service more efficiently, or something like that. Because in the insourcing market, there are a lot of outsourcing project, because we just show the very simple outsourcing service, just outsourcing the testing service. But if the client they want to save costs, they can also outsource everything. They just get the very good product, they can deliver it outside immediately. They don't need to repair the defect or something like that. Actually, that's a very lazy client.
But if the client is lazy, then the client has to pay especially huge amount of effort into learning this kind of a model, because the client is anyway responsible for monitoring all the service providers.
Yeah.
If they are not able to monitor the service providers, they will not get the good results, so that's for sure.
Yeah. Okay, let's move forward. And here is the second case study. The second case is about the logistic services. And based on the case studies, I interviewed the CIO, the logistic managers. We found that the most important practices for the logistic service provider are the order management, transportation management, and warehouse management. Of course, for the whole logistic services, they include a lot of practices. And we get this conclusion based on the literature review. We get confirmation from the logistic companies managers and from the CIO, and so we can see that the order management, the transportation management, and the warehouse management, they are the most important things for the logistic service providers. And based on this conclusion, we created the information system product server for the classes of order, transportation, and warehouse management systems. And the logistic team structure has been analyzed in this research, in this case research. And you can see this structure. From the case study, actually, they basically have these three teams. Of course, they have a lot of staff. But all the staff, they work in these three teams to deliver the whole services. And for the order management team, they are responsible for the order validating, entrance, and processing. And it makes it also drafts the logistic plan and transfer this information with the transportation team. And the transportation team also work with them to draft the most reasonable or the most suitable logistic plan for the client. And the transportation team, they also need to deal with the service breakdown in the service because a lot of factors would be influence the services, service delay, accident, or something like that. And for the warehouse management team, they use the okay, I want to say something about this. This SMS is the stock management systems, and the WMS is the warehouse management systems. The SMS is developed by the case company in their early stage, and the warehouse management system is bought outside because when their business grow up and the client, they have more requirement about the warehouse management. And the originally developed this system is not good enough, but it can offer some basic functions. So they use this for some clients. They don't have higher levels requirement, and they use this warehouse management system for the client, for the very big client, for the big contract, or something like that. No matter SMS or the warehouse management system, they are all for the same function that the warehouse management system in their service. And for this picture, it's about the logistic service. And you can see that the client, the order management team, transportation management team, and the warehouse management team, they deliver services. And the order transportation and the warehouse management system is also service for all the stakeholders in the life cycle and help them to analyze the requirement and draft the logistics plan and deliver services. And if they have some accident, if the client changed the requirement or something like that, or the breakdown, they can do something and they can you can find some errors, so you can see what should you do next. And based on this process, and we hope the service provider could deliver efficient services for the client. And of course, I want to say this figure and the other two figures, they're all based on the e-sourcing capability models. You can see that they have three stages. In the initial stage, you can see this start. The client, they send the requirement proposal. And in the delivery stage, when the contract and the client will also monitor the order or something like that. So all these roles, they based on the e-sourcing capability model, based on that reference model. So we can compare, no matter the testing service provider's practice or the logistic service provider's practice to the reference model. So we can see, we can find what they have done, what they didn't done, and find a reason or something like that. So that reference model is very useful in this whole services. And after that is the cross case studies. Based on the testing services and the logistic services, we generalize the research result and summarize the common and variable part of the classes of requirement test and defect management systems and the classes of order transportation and warehouse management systems. Based on that, two classes systems, we create an information system design product server for the classes of e-sourcing requirements and delivery management systems. So you can see that the RTDMS and the OTWMS, based on that, we draft a high level design series that's e-sourcing requirements and delivery management systems. So this kind of system should be a super class for this research. And based on the two case studies, we also summarized the best practices framework for e-sourcing service providers. We'll show that framework in the later slides. And this is a generalized e-sourcing service team based on the two case studies. We could see that for the service providers, they could generalize the team in two teams, generalize their service in two teams. One team focused on the requirement management team, and another team focused on the delivery management team. For example, in the testing service, the test manager and the test analysis, they focus on the analyze the client requirement, draft the test case, and design the test plan, or something like that. And for the logistics services, the order management team and the transportation management team, they work together to analyze the client requirement, draft the logistics service plan, and analyze the most reasonable schedule or the roadmap for the services. So we can see that they are in the requirement management team. And for the delivery management team, they focus on the service delivery based on the client requirement, based on the service plan, or something like that. And the delivery management team, they also need to report the breakdowns and report their service progress and something. It also collect metrics and breakdown information during the service. And in the end of the service, they also need to document the services and the lessons learned from the whole project. So based on that, they can accumulate knowledge and improve their service capabilities and move to a higher level. Of course, they also need to transfer the resources to the client or to the third party in the end of the service project. And here is the meta requirement of the information system design product theory for the super class, for the classes of requirement and delivery management systems. And it helps them to provide the streamline the end-to-end e-sourcing lifecycle. And the superclasses systems, they should offer two categories of services, that's requirement management and delivery management. They are on the very high levels abstract. So you can see based on that two case studies, we generalize the system to a high levels. So we hope this system could be used for all the e-sourcing service providers. And here is the figure drafted for the e-sourcing service providers. You can see that the client requirement management team, delivery management team, and the classes of requirements and the delivery management system, it offers support for the for all the stakeholders and record aspects or something in the database that help them in the whole services to deliver the standard process services. And you can see all that for the change requirement deal with the various breakdown. So based on this service process, we hope that the service provider, they can deliver the very efficient services for the client. So they can improve their service process and improve the service quality. Here is the best practice framework for the e-sourcing service providers. And Okay, I want to say this framework still need to revise. This is not the final wishes. And from this framework, we can see that it have several phases, and the service provider, they need to evaluate their service capabilities and find the information from the international market so they can make a target of which market they want to join and which client is their potential e-sourcing client. After that, they will buy it and get the contract information, and after that, they need to negotiate the contract. When they win the contract, they can draft the service plan and deliver services. In the services, they also need to manage the e-sourcing services and to improve the service quality and collect the metrics and deal with breakdown. After that, they can contract termination and evaluate their services. So this is the whole life cycle for the e-sourcing service providers. And you can see that it's also included the initial stage and the delivery stage and the completion stage. That's also, so the reference model is also helpful for this framework. And you can see that from this framework, they have a lot of activities and the performance mirrors and the expecting outcomes for the every phases. And in the phases, you can see the supporting ICT tools. Actually, that's the supporting classes of information systems. So all these classes, information systems in this role, they are used in the services to help the service provider to deliver successful services. And they are very important for the service providers. So this is the best practices. We based on these two case studies and generalized this framework.
So the idea is mainly to show in this previous figure that there are other classes of systems, of course, that are also needed for this e-sourcing. So there are plenty of different type of classes. And so all those the two top rows are just showing what kind of classes of systems can be used in e-sourcing. But your dissertation is obviously not focusing on all of these classes. So, So this is just to show that you are not trying to say that one class would be able to deal with everything.
Yeah.
But there are other classes that are obviously needed for these different phases of e-sourcing.
Yeah, of course. That means all the classes actually work together to help the service provider to deliver the services. And to make sure to find which classes is the most important system. Maybe the classes should be used in all the stages and were important for the service delivery.
Yeah, some classes of systems are so important that they need to be used basically throughout the life cycle. And then some are very specific classes of systems that are maybe only used to select bits or whatever. So.
Okay. And here is the contribution for this whole research. The design product series for the classes are requirement, test, and defect management system, and the order transportation and the warehouse management system contribute in their specific domains. And the third main contribution is the design product series for the classes of e-sourcing requirements and the delivery management systems. The third contribution is based on the two classes system, and that's the generalized results. And the best practices framework is also based on the two case studies. And we hope that best practices could be used for all the international e-sourcing service providers. And for the contribution two slides, that's the information system design product series for the classes of e-sourcing requirements and the delivery management system. You can see that these super classes it's from comprehensive kernel theories such as the insertion capability model, and it also could be used for the specific domain and to design the product theories for the specific domains and the requirement test and the defect management systems and the order transportation and the warehouse management system. They are the examples of these specific domains. And we hope this research to help the sourcing service providers and commercial software vendors to design domain-specific integrated systems and help them to improve service quality and deal with breakdown and recover from the breakdown quickly in the service in the sourcing life cycle. And we hope the conclusion can be used in the ICT domain and the business process sourcing domain and help the no matter client or the service providers to manage and control the sourcing life cycle and make their service process transparent and seamless. The transparent and seamless, that means if something happened, no matter client and service provider, they can get this information immediately and they can communicate to each other immediately. So they can deal with everything quickly, make this whole service efficient. That means transparent and seamless. So for example, for the testing service, the client, they don't need to wait for several hours for the defect, found defect, because if they need to repair the defect, they need to know the test environment information, which test case they use, or something like that. That means when they found the defect, maybe in the 10 o'clock and the client gets the defect in the 12 o'clock, they still need to rebuild the test environment and get a lot of information. That wastes all time, because in the testing services, the client they pay for the service provider based on maybe hours or days or something like that. That means a lot of money if they can move, improve their service quality, make the whole process efficient. You can save a lot of money from this. For the third contribution is generalized the superclass of systems, the sourcing requirements and the delivery systems. And you can use it to create a more detailed and domain-specific design product theory. And the order transportation warehouse management system and the requirement test and the defect management system, they are such domain-specific theories. For this research, there is some limitation. First of all, we only have two case studies so far. So we only build two classes or information systems based on the two case companies. And the case companies, they are only from the Chinese e-sourcing market. Of course, the Chinese e-sourcing market is very big, and we have a lot of e-sourcing service providers, but in the global market, the Chinese service provider is not as powerful as the Indian service providers, and we also have a lot of other competitors from Philippines or other countries. So for the future research, maybe we can get more service provider from other market. And the information system design product server created in this research mainly support the design of a system to exclude the resourcing life cycle and recover from the coordination breakdowns during the service. And for this research, we provide less support for the redesign of the resourcing life cycle practices and activities and the system to ensure the organizational long-term efficient. If you remember in the earlier slides, we have the box change requirement or something like that. We can help the client and the service provider to redesign the service partly, but not for the whole life cycle. Maybe just redesign or revise their test plan or something like that. So So far, this research offer limited support to for the redesign of the e-sourcing lifecycle practices.
So the redesign, of course, means that you need comprehensive modeling environments, for instance, to draw these kind of process models that that you have shown.
Yeah.
So that's what he means by this redesign support. So we have not been investigating any process modeling environments or anything like that that you would need to actually redesign those processes if necessary. So on. So that has been out of the scope.
Yes. And for the future research, we need to evaluate the design series, the supercast, the requirements, and the delivery management system to build in a set of domain-specific design product series to validate this series. And also need to revise it because we only have two cases. And the knowledge process sourcing is missing in this research. As I said in the beginning of this research, technology process sourcing is not very new, but it's also the future for the e-sourcing services. And currently, we only focus on the ICT sourcing and the business process sourcing. So in this research, we don't cover this. But for the future research, we need to revise all the result and to validate the result in this domain. And for the future research, we also need to know how effectively organizations can use the system instance and follow our design series and to redesign the e-sourcing lifecycle practices, activities, and systems to ensure the organizational long-term efficiency and to validate and revise the design product series as necessary to ensure the series they are not only to ensure that this theory not only could support the service exclusion and the breakdown recovery, but also they can redesign for their services. We hope in the future research we can redesign the life cycle or something like that to help the service provider improve their service capability a lot, because currently we only support redesign part of their life cycle.
Yeah. Yep, because the idea is that, of course, any given organization, if you go to and work in a testing service provider, they don't necessarily follow this model that you showed.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there needs to be some kind of an evolution path through which the organization tries to go toward the model that you stated. And that's why they need process modeling tools and all kinds of other redesign business process redesign tools to do that kind of activity.
Yes.
Now basically your information system design product theories, those comprehensive life cycle models, they are kind of dreams. They are like these kind of optimal, the best, we think they are the best possible process models that you can ever have. And of course, most companies would not be following those models. They
yes.
would need to work toward implementing those models and re-engineer their processes.
Yeah, of course.
Gradually get to that stage where we would want them to be.
Yeah, of course. Currently, you can from our figures, that's the process model. We hope the providers follow us model, but if we found some new or some more useful practice or processes, we will revise it. And so that's why we say that the best practice is for the service providers. And this is a publication so far that's based on the two case studies. We have some conference and journal papers or something like that. And any questions?
Where did you find the motivation to do research about this exact topic?
Actually, that's based on my early experience. My bachelor degree focuses on the software engineering, and my master degree is engineering business management. So you can see that I have technology background and business background. So I want to do something to combine these two backgrounds together. And I found I'm very lucky. I found this a very interesting topic, so I can continue my research and find a lot of interesting issues and topic. Yeah.
So this is actually very interesting that you have a bachelor's degree in software engineering, so the software testing is more about software engineering, and then your master's degree is about logistics management. So then you have also this logistics business processes here in the same dissertation. It's probably the only dissertation in the whole world where somebody would be covering both logistics and software engineering topics in one dissertation.
Yeah, but fortunately we have the topic of the e-sourcing, so we can cover them both.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, of course, for the audience, this is hopefully interesting because you have possibilities to read the dissertation soon, and then if you want to do interesting master's thesis projects and so on, that's always possible by continuing. There's so much that can be done based on this. You are opening up lots and lots of new research opportunities.
Yeah, of course. And from the best practice frameworks, it also means a lot of work still need to do in the future. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. And ask questions.
Do we still have some questions?
Yes, if you have any questions, we have still time for your questions that you can fulfill your requirements in our coursework. This is the one point that you are able to answer those questions.
I think for the e-sourcing, that's also maybe related a lot in Finland. For example, Finland, if they want to cover the human cost in their project, maybe you can outsource some project to China, India, or Philippine countries. So for you, maybe you pay a lot of attention on the client side, but for me, I pay the attention on the service provider side.
And I can just say that I'm pretty much investigating, of course, all these areas and also involved globally in all these areas. So we are doing a new model for this e-sourcing service provisioning. So you were using the e-sourcing service provisioning model from Carnegie Mellon University. We are making at the moment an international standard model also in this area. And it will be used by the service providers globally to do e-sourcing services. So there's plenty of activities ongoing in all these areas.
And for this research, it's also include a lot about the international standards in the services. So we hope to make the whole service processes standard. So no matter the client or the service providers, we can eliminate the culture issue or other I expect the issue a lot, so make the project a success.
Has anyone of your personal interest to these topics? I mean that the idea of this course is giving some ideas to you if you are planning a bachelor thesis or master thesis or other thesis.
Think about your topics and what you want to investigate in your thesis works.
Yeah.
At the end, you can find a great career.
Yeah, I hope that this kind of presentations are not too intimidating. You know, Ikun has been working on this topic for many years, and it has been quite tough. You know, he has this best people in the world reviewing the dissertation and giving kind of hard time and so on. So the ambition level in this research is just totally out of this world. So I think that you never realize that you get this kind of ambition level to this his research.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that somebody who comes to do a bachelor thesis or a master's thesis needs to do these kind of hugely ambitious projects. We can come up with something much more narrow.
Yeah, actually, you don't have any pressure about that, because yes. I for this for about 4 or 5 years, you can see the publications from 2009 until I think this journal is just published this year, so it means several years' work. You don't have any pressure about this.
Usually main point in this thesis and as well as in this article is that you focus on one single problem at the same time, and in this way you can be brilliant.
So the average single paper focuses on one small topic, and the current line is to show a big topic, show a big picture for this whole research.
But it's a very nice, nice way of doing research. You do something very detailed things, and then you do something more abstract. And then you do again something more detailed, then you do something more abstract. So it's an interesting way of like, composing.
Of course. Especially when you in the end of the PhD life, you can you can see what you have done in a big picture. You can see what I have done in the earliest stage, what I have done in that part, in that part. So you can see a big picture. Wow, it's pretty cool.
Yes.
Yeah. Any other questions? I think that's all.
I guess there is some kind of Hawaii party. I don't know who are all invited, but I think that we can go to the first floor, and then there is the Hawaii party by one of the faculties. So.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Thank you.
Now Dan. Okay, you can close that. And